south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started.
You know, you gotta love this. Did you know that Mexican immigration authorities are in conversations with Guatemala immigration authorities because the Mexicans want to build a wall between Mexico and Guatemala because there's too many immigrants flowing into Mexico on the way to the U.S. Well, you may have heard that before, but certainly you haven't heard this. Here's an article that just was published in one of Argentina's largest daily newspapers, entitled, Congressman Demands Macri, that's Argentina's new president, build a Trump-style wall on the border of Bolivia. What? Now, you gotta love this. It says, Argentine deputies urged the government of Mauricio Macri to follow the example of Donald Trump and build a wall between Argentina and Bolivia. Legislators, including Alfredo Olmedo, pointed out the need to build such a wall, a physical barrier between both countries, because of the massive illegal immigration of the poorest of the poor from Bolivia flooding into Argentina. One congressman was quoted as saying, I know that border very well, and the wall is the only solution, he said. They've tried everything else. In fact, it says there was a recent televised debate over the tightening of Argentina's immigration policy, including discussion of the proposed wall. Congressman pointing out that there's currently no effective surveillance along the land border between both countries, and that's why drug and human trafficking are endemic along this border. Sound familiar? It was also brought up that, get this now, a number of Argentine congressmen support the immigration policies of U.S. President Donald Trump, some of them saying they supported him 100%. Why? Because they're having the exact same problem in Argentina, a much wealthier, more educated country with a much higher standard of living than neighboring Bolivia. Then it says, many Argentine congressmen have repeatedly staked out controversial positions regarding tough immigration policies, such as those that endorse an Argentine presidential decree that came on Monday, expediting the expulsion of foreigners, mostly Bolivians, by the way, who have committed crimes. And there are orders for even more border controls to impede the arrival of immigrants who have criminal records in their own countries. Said one Argentine congressman, the Bolivian people are hardworking people we know, and we respect them a lot, but we will not allow criminal delinquents to remain in Argentine territory making use of our resources any longer. Then he said, if there are delinquents who come from Colombia, Paraguay, whatever place, they will have to go back home. It is not fair for us to pay to house and jail them. Man, does that not sound like the exact debate that's happening up in the States right now? Yet, this is South America. It should be noted, it says, that Bolivia and Argentina have been having an ongoing border war with regards to immigration policies. In fact, it says Bolivia has taken a hard line recently with regards to its immigration policy directed towards Argentine visitors to their country. Admittedly, there are very few Argentines that move to Bolivia to work and live. In fact, almost all Argentine visitors to Bolivia are tourists taking advantage of inexpensive vacation destinations in Bolivia. However, due to the ramped up talk by the new Argentine president stating that people who overstayed their visas, have criminal records, or commit a crime in Argentina will be deported, obviously directed at the chief offender, Bolivia, in response to that, Bolivia retaliated on January 20th, 2017, when it announced that Argentine foreigners who enter or visit Bolivia will now have their passports inked with a stamp that says, quote, the holder of this passport is a tourist only and forbidden to work and or study. However, it's not known if this new edict will affect only the passports of Argentinos or if all visitors' passports will be stamped in that way. All right, so that news just came out this week. And here, we all thought it was just the U.S. playing immigration hardball against Mexico. So then, how come reports like this get virtually no coverage up in the first world? By the way, let me read you this immigration policy that I got from a good listener and friend, Oscar, an expat insider attendee who's now living here in Latin America permanently. He just sent this to me the other day and said, Johnny, what do you make of this? It's a countrywide immigration policy consisting of 10 points, and it's been in force for many years. Let me read it to you. Point number one, there will be no special bilingual programs in the schools. Number two, all ballots will be in this nation's language. Number three, all government business will be conducted in our own language. Number four, non-residents will not have the right to vote, no matter how long they live here. Number five, non-citizens will never be able to hold public office. Number six, foreigners will not be a burden to the taxpayers. No welfare, no food stamps, no health care, or other government assistance programs will be provided. Any person that's a financial burden will be deported. Number seven, foreigners can invest in our country, but it must be an amount at least equal to 40,000 times the daily minimum wage. Yep, 40,000 times. Number eight, if foreigners come here to buy land, options will be restricted. Certain parcels, including waterfront property, will be reserved for citizens naturally born in our country. Number nine, foreigners may have no protests, no demonstrations, no waving of foreign flags, no political organizing, no bad-mouthing our president or his policies. These will also lead to deportations. And finally, number 10, if you do come to our country illegally, you will be actively hunted and when caught, sent to jail until your deportation can be arranged. All of your assets will be taken. Okay, Oscar, thanks for sending that little blurb. And at the end it says, you think these laws are too strict? Guess what? The above-mentioned 10 laws have been and are currently the immigration policy of guess which country? Mexico. Do you hear that? Mexico. Now, for those of you watching this on YouTube, you'll see that published list. Oh, and by the way, did you know that because of these strict immigration policies in Mexico, they actively deport many more people each year than U.S. immigration does? And of course, they send them back to places like Guatemala, El Salvador, Costa Rica, Nicaragua, and other countries on their southern border. Just thought that might be of interest to you. When speaking of south of the border, that would be South America, we've got some more bad news coming out of Colombia. It's a nice place to visit, but I'm not recommending it anymore as an expat Plan B destination, simply because the Big Brother state is starting to take over there. And, well, here are some more examples of that. I have an article from a big Colombian newspaper that says as of February 1st, 2017, Colombians will begin to pay a 19% VAT tax. That would be what they call IVA, I-V-A in Spanish, which is your value-added tax. That would be a federal tax on everything. Well, almost everything, as you'll soon see. Anyway, this article out of Colombia goes on to say, as of February 1st, Colombians will pay that higher VAT tax thanks to the tax reform approved in 2016. Wait a minute. Why do those government pusbag slugs always call it tax reform? Reform always means raising someone's taxes. What's reformed about it? Are we that stupid? Maybe. More like tax deform. I mean, that's what it does to the economy, right? Deform it. Anyway, the article says, this new 19% VAT tax increase seeks to raise the tax burden in order to cover the nation's budgetary gap due to lower oil prices and new and excessive government spending. So, the tax is being raised 3 points from 16% to 19%. Although still not as high as Argentina's 21%. Wow. And you know, that's on top of your regular income taxes too. And man, you'll cringe when I tell you about those new income tax, quote, reforms. Oh, now this is weird. It says, although the tax reform, there's that word again, reform, technically took effect on January 1st, 2017, the National Tax and Customs Office, DIAN, gave business owners an extra month to sell the merchandise that was on their shelves already that had been previously purchased with the lower VAT tax of 16%. Well, how nice and magnanimous of them, huh? Of course, the government maggots who make those laws never had a real job or had to balance a checkbook in their lives, so what would they know about running a business? It says, however, some businesses and products will get some relief. Some consumer items will pay a reduced VAT tax of 5%, such as, now get this, sanitary napkins for women, tampons, and diapers, since they are exclusively, it says here, used by women and children. Congress decided to give them preferential tax treatment. Now, there's an opening if I ever saw one. Let me throw my own two cents in here. Now, suppose, instead of giving diapers and sanitary napkins a pass on the 19%, and gave men's underwear, shaving cream, and nose hair trimmers an exemption. Might one call that sexist? And you know, these countries, by following the example of the first world, piling on all kinds of crazy convoluted taxes, that's why certain people in countries like Argentina, Chile, Costa Rica, and Colombia think that's somehow the road to becoming first world. Yeah, well, good luck with that. But it is good information because it tells us one thing. Make sure you scratch those countries off your Plan B list. But you knew that already, right? By the way, this third world, first world, second world, fourth world, whatever, is not at all a kind of economic or developmental progression like most people think it is. For example, you don't go from third world to second world to first world in your economic or social growth. People always get confused about that. If you look up the term second world, you'll find that applies to former Soviet bloc countries. So Albania, Ukraine, Serbia, Montenegro, Kazakhstan, and well, all the Stans and the Stashes. They are considered second world countries. So you don't go from being a poor third world Latin country to a second world country. Because becoming second world is just not in that progression. Second world, again, applies to former Soviet bloc countries. However, some sociologists say you can go from a fourth world country to a third world. Now, African sub-Sahara countries are considered fourth world, except South Africa, which has been called first world, but it's slipping fast. Especially when brainiac president of South Africa, Jacob Zuma, says, quote, taking showers minimizes the risk of getting AIDS. Go ahead, look it up. Now, of course, lately I've been told that to call a country a third world country is politically incorrect. You have to call them developing countries now. You know, that sounds better. Funny how things change, because just a few years ago, at a party, someone corrected me by saying, we're not in a third world country, we're in an underdeveloped country. Well, that was then. Now they're not underdeveloped, they're developing. Because calling them an underdeveloped country is politically incorrect too. Go figure, huh? By the way, speaking of PC, when you're speaking to middle and lower middle class Latins, that's 80% of the population, you'll hear them say the words, tercer mundista, quite a bit, meaning third world. They don't say developing, desarrollado, they say tercer mundista. That's how they describe themselves. However, that term really does rub upscale Latins the wrong way. Yes, I guess if you heard that all the time, it could hurt your feelings. Reminds me of a buddy I had in Chicago, a guy named Ali Chik, if you can believe it. Always told everybody his parents came from Czechoslovakia. Only to find out he didn't want to tell anyone they came from Poland. Poles always did get a bad rap, didn't they? So note, when in Latin America and talking to a Latin American college student or college graduate, he'll most likely never say he's from the third world, but from a developing country. Sure sounds better. It makes it seem as if the country is pulling itself up by the bootstraps. Or, you know, moving on up, whether they are or not. So the fact is, if you're a third world country, you can make the leap to first world, but you'll never be a second world country because you have to be a former Soviet bloc country. Now, for those tiny few countries out of the 200 plus countries in the world that have made that leap from third world to first world country, we're talking about Singapore, South Korea, Japan, the United Arab Emirates, and Israel. That's five countries, right? And of course, it's not about wishful thinking or the luck of the draw. In the case of Singapore, they made that leap because they became the big financial and banking center for the eastern part of the world. And South Korea and Japan made that leap because of their technical prowess in manufacturing. And then you have the tiny country of the UAE, that's United Arab Emirates. Yep, they did win the lottery. That place virtually floats on a sea of oil. And Israel, well, that's a small country. They've been getting billions from the U.S. for years, and billions in aid and support and technology and education from the Jewish people abroad. So those are five very unique examples. In other words, it's wishful thinking to believe a country like Chile or Argentina, Colombia, Costa Rica, Panama, whatever, are somehow going to make that giant leap to the first world without some extraordinary happenstance. Which is why when I'm sitting down at a party talking to some Latin pseudo-intellectuals and college students, if they hit on the subject of progress and how soon they're going to become first world, well, that's when I know that person or persons have had their head in the toilet bowl. The question is, why is it that even the most intelligent Latin people you meet have no idea the world's in a downward spiral and someone or something's about to hit the reset button? Fact is, I can't say I've met a single Latin person who doesn't secretly or overtly wish he was in the States. The fact is, you could say, with most Latin Americans, their plan B is to go to the U.S., whereas ours is to come down to Latin America and watch the first world implode from a nice safe distance. That said, let's stick with the topic of Colombia for a few minutes. Not one of my top picks for a Latin American plan B anymore. And for those of you listeners who've been sending me emails saying, but Johnny, International Living, AARP, and all the big expat bloggers are saying, Colombia, that's coming online as the next Costa Rica. Well, guess what? That's exactly the wrong way to look at it. Which is why I'm going to list for you right now a complete guide to Colombia's increasingly expensive tax, there's that word again, reform for 2017. Which of course means higher taxes in almost all areas. Why? Again, because of the low prices in oil, and Colombia is an oil producer, and extreme overspending during good times, which always happens with corrupt, gluttonous governments. But that's redundant, right? So along with the income tax, capital gains tax, the VAT tax now of 19%, they've created a new unified tax in Colombia. This tax is for small commercial establishments. So if you have a mom-and-pop business that's registered, that includes shops, hairdressers, bakeries, and all types of stores. Now, according to the tax division, the charge will be a 1% a year fee on all establishments with revenues starting at $14,000 a year. Now, I'm talking about new increases in taxes or brand new taxes that went into effect in the new year, most on January 1st, 2017. Next, Colombia has just created a new 5% tax on magazines, newspapers, and the use of digital platforms such as Netflix. So if you're in Colombia, expect to get gouged on your next Netflix bill. And how about this? Colombia's now got a brand new tax on soda and cigarettes. There's now a 10-cent per liter tax on sugar-sweetened beverages, with the aim, the government says, of reducing levels of diabetes and obesity. Yeah, the aim's not to collect money, right? And they've created an additional sin tax, if that's what you want to call it, of 72 cents for each pack of cigarettes sold. That's in addition to the multiple taxes already levied at cigarette producers. And now, for the first time ever in 2017, the Colombian government will now jail people who evade taxes. This applies to, it says here, people who evade for amounts higher than $17,000, with sentences lasting from 4 to 9 years. Well, that's a first. I haven't seen or read of a single case of any person who ever went to jail for a tax offense in Latin America. So congratulations, Colombia, on that. And remember, just this year too, Colombia enacted a law where all residents must report and pay taxes on all their foreign source income. Copied that one directly from the States. And how about this one? There's a new tax on bank transfers in Colombia. Says here, following the earthquake in the city of Armenia, Colombia, the government has decided to create a new tax on bank transfers. This will be used, it says, to rebuild the city. Meaning, if a person is transferring or withdrawing money from a bank in Colombia now, they'll pay a little less than a half of 1% for each transaction. It also says the tax is supposed to be limited and dismantled once its purpose of building the city is fulfilled. However, collection has been very high, which is why everyone assumes the tax will just continue, which invokes that old saying you probably heard before, a temporary tax is anything but. Remember, in 1913, the U.S. government instituted a federal income tax that was also supposed to be temporary. In fact, it was written into law that way. It was instituted temporarily to pay for the cost of World War I. Let's see, that temporary tax lasted only, what, 103 years now? But where were we? Oh, yeah. And how about this? Makes you want to cry. The Colombian government has instituted a flat income tax rate of 32%. Yep, that's tax reform, all right, huh? And get this, who can make this stuff up? It says, publishers will not have to pay this tax. Neither will employee funds, cooperatives, and religious cults. Yes, it actually says that here. Religious cults will not have to pay this tax. I do have some property in Cartagena. Maybe next time I visit, I'll have to dig that old shaman costume out of the closet. However, last time I checked, to be an official cult, I think you need more than one member. Hey, any volunteers for the existential zero-point Atomic Church of Johnny? But anyway, on this new flat tax of 32% in Colombia, that tax will bring in 500,000 more people who previously were not in the tax system. Oh, by the way, speaking of that tax on sugary drink products in Colombia, believe it or not, of all the new taxes, that's the one that's getting the biggest blowback. More than 23,000 shopkeepers signed a petition addressed to Congress demanding they reverse that tax increase on sugary drinks. In that petition, the merchants asked that the government reconsider the tax, demanding that their voices be heard, pointing out the economic implications of that tax, which they say would ruin their bottom line. According to shopkeepers, the income of 580,000 Colombian families will be affected since the sale of these products represents 20% of their sales and 33% in some cases of their total revenues. Meanwhile, Colombian Health Minister Alejandro Gaviria has steadfastly maintained that the tax is the most effective way to combat Colombians' ever-growing and problematic obesity. Meanwhile, over three-quarters of Colombians' legislature are overweight or obese. Yeah, right, that extra 10 cents a liter tax is going to stop them from sucking down their quota of Coke, Pepsi, Sprite, and Mountain Dew. Okay, speaking of immigration, illegal and otherwise, here's something that's really bothersome. I mentioned in a past show that down here in Latin America, for Latins who use the internet, they'll give up their name, address, place of business, emails, the whole works, to practically any offer that comes up in a pop-up window, as long as they think they're going to win something. In fact, they'll give up almost every last bit of their privacy, even if they don't think they're going to win anything. They just have no idea of the consequences and dangers of giving up their personal debts. Meanwhile, the corner drugstore, retailers, credit card issuers, banks, whatever, not to mention those scumbags at Google, are selling off your personal data, email addresses, phone numbers, likes and dislikes, travel plans, GPS locations, everything they've collected on you to whatever group or marketing company forks out the dough to buy the lists. And now I see with certain Latin people I know, even gringos, when they're on their smartphones and computers doing their email and WhatsApp, whatever, they're getting all kinds of pop-up window offers, and one that's been showing up quite a bit lately is one called CanadianVisa.com. It even popped up when I was doing a search. And most Latins think it's the greatest thing since butt implants, because they think these skanks at CanadianVisa.com will somehow pull some strings and get them a visa to live and work in Canada. In fact, when you click on the pop-up window, here's what appears on the main page. It says, click here if you wish to immigrate to Canada. There's even an express fast-track entry form. Then it proclaims, only here on CanadaVisa.com will you be assessed across more than, get this, 60 different Canadian immigration programs and categories. Yep, count them, 60. Then it says, as your Canadian immigration legal representative, our law firm, and I won't say it here because it's against my principles, will provide you with customized personal solutions for all of your Canadian immigration needs. Then it says, we are very familiar with the Canadian immigration process and roadmap, as well as the new Canadian Express Entry Selection System with many different entrance routes to choose from. We have the expertise to find you the most efficient road to Canadian permanent residency. Of course, they're doing this for nothing, out of the goodness of their hearts, right? Well, you know, like I've always said, almost every Latin you meet would love to live in the U.S. They think it's the land of milk and honey. But their second choice is always Canada. And the only reason why it's second is because it's damn cold up there. Even though the vast majority of Latins have never seen ice, snow, moose, or hockey pucks, they've definitely heard about them. By the way, when we talk about come-ons and scams that show up on the internet or whatever, playing into the gullibility of Latins who will do anything to get up to the first world, especially legally, you can see there's just no end to those kind of gimmicks, especially when you see guys coming through every couple months or so advertising $50 a pop, half-day hotel seminars on how to successfully get a visa to the U.S. or Canada. In fact, I'll bet you a Bitcoin, they're almost $1,000 now, you know, that those scam artists will never publish their real success and failure rates. The truth would kill their little enterprises. Now, I recently found out that those bogus little seminars don't draw your average Latin that makes $300 to $500 a month who don't speak a lick of English. Plus, they don't have university degrees or marketable skills, so they know they don't stand a chance getting in legally. However, those $50 a pop immigration seminars are just filled to the gills with Latin college students and people with university degrees. Nearly all Latins come to believe a college degree is the answer to all their economic problems. It's a way up. That is, until they graduate and can't find a job in their field. Sound familiar? So when that sad realization comes and they're still living with mom and dad at 30 years old, working at Starbucks or in a hardware store with that sociology, psychology, or even law or architecture degree, it takes but a small leap of faith and $50 to attend one of those how to get a real visa in the first world seminars. Even worse, there's a Latin joker doing the rounds with a how to write and publish your own novel seminar for $50 a head too. In fact, unbelievably, I noticed in his last ad, this will be the fourth time he's come through Latin America and done the very same seminar. Man, that just makes no sense at all since almost no one reads books down here. Not to mention I've never met a single Latin author, and I've met a few, who isn't living with his parents and working at the IHOP or Office Depot. Yet this slick dude comes through every couple of months and sells out a hotel salon at $50 a pop. You see what I'm getting at here, right? That huge gullibility factor. And for the average guy making $300, $400, $500, or $600 a month, $50 for a useless seminar is not going to break the bank. Thank God for that. On that happy note, I picked the dates for my next Expat Insider Seminar. So, barring international calamity or world implosion, it will be Saturday, July 8th through Thursday, July 13th, 2017. That's about 5 months away now. If you want to get on the early bird sign-up list, just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. It's limited to 25 attendees, as always, so don't miss your chance. And in the meantime, I urge you to go to expatplanb.com and check out my Expat Essentials course. That'll help you get all your ducks lined up for your Plan B, whether the idea is to vote with your feet permanently or just live part-time in Latin America. You can see what's happening up in the first world, and you do need a Plan B. So go to expatplanb.com. Do check it out.
South of the border.
This is the Expat Files, living in Latin America. If you want me to help you out with your own Plan B, just schedule a one-on-one consult. Send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to learn how to move forward with your own Plan B from right up there in the States, go to www.expatplanb.com and check out my three videos. See ya. Nos vemos.